Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinckney to Pinckney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. I tell you, we have had a week that nobody in their right mind will believe. We have a young lady that's been missing for 2 months. Jessica Gray has been missing for 2 whole months. And we cannot find her. The police, the Benton Township Police Department, have refused to look for her. We believe she was shot. Some say she was shot and killed by all the blood that was located at the front door of Mr. Locke's home. He was on the run. He went up to Columbus, Ohio. Reason unknown, he attempted to rob a gas station and got caught. Maybe he planned it that way, I don't know. But he was in the Columbus, Ohio jail and Benton Township Police refused to give any information out in reference to him. Matter of fact, the only way that we can find out anything about Lark and Jessica Gray, it was told to us by the Columbus, Ohio Police Department. Benton Township, one of the most racist police departments in the nation, refused to go out. We gave leads on what, there was a couple of people there that actually was an eyewitness to the shooting, and they refused to go out and question these people. Well, our goal is to be in front of Benton Township Police Department February 11th at 4 p.m. We'll be praying for Jessica Gray, and we plan to bring her home. We have no idea what has happened to her. The body has not been seen in 2 months. In more than 2 months. Lark is not talking. He's not telling people what happened. But you got that prison mentality. No body, no crime. That's not true. You could still be tried for murder. Even if it's nobody. You could still be tried for murder. And in this case, he's now in Michigan prison on a parole violation. No charges has been brought in reference to Jessica. And I don't even know whether they even have spoken to him. One of the things that happened here in the city of Benton Harbor, when it comes to a black person, they normally do not care. So we're fighting an uphill battle dealing with what's going on today. Jessica Gray has been missing. We believe that she was shot 3-4 times with all the blood that was in front of his house. And we believe that he dumped the body off somewhere. I don't believe he drove all the way up to Columbus, Ohio to get rid of the body. I don't believe that. I don't believe that he would be driving, especially with the blood oozing out of the body. I don't believe that. I believe that he dumped that body somewhere off in Benton Harbor. We don't know where it's located, where it might be. But we're going to find you, Jessica. Jessica Gray, we're going to bring you home. And I'm going to need everybody's help that's listening today to help me bring Jessica home. Jessica Gray is missing. I talked with her mom on yesterday, and I haven't had the opportunity to talk to her before now, but I spoke with her on yesterday. I didn't want to override the family, but we're going to have to do something to bring Jessica Gray home. On that note, I want to talk a little bit about our mass demonstration in Benton Harbor, Occupy the PGA. May 23rd, 2020, at 10 a.m., City Hall, here in Benton Harbor. Absolutely. As a citizen of Benton Harbor, with support from our allies around the world, we protest the exploitation of our community, of Benton Harbor by Harbor Shores, KitchenAid, Whirlpool Corporation, and the PGA of America. The Harbor Shores development came about only through the undermining of democracy, political pressure on public agencies, the theft of public land for private profit, the destruction of everything that you could think of, the theft of water from the public, the theft of land from the public, and the continued destruction of the very fabric of the predominantly Black community of Benton Harbor, which is already politically disenfranchised, economically impoverished. Harbor Shores refused to pay taxes to the city of Benton Harbor. In the year 2025, it will be converted over, annexed to St. Joseph, Michigan, a city that is 95% Caucasian. We hereby make the following demands on the 2020 Senior PGA. We demand that the cancellation of the tournament in Benton Harbor, unless these demands are accepted, transfer 25% of the 2020 Senior PGA profit to the citizens of Benton Harbor as a partial compensation for the stolen land and water uses, for the purpose of meeting the budget deficit and building affordable houses for the people of Benton Harbor. We want you to acknowledge in an announcement at the Senior PGA event that the people of Benton Harbor has been exploited in numerous ways, including the theft of land for profit. The failure to address these grievances demand publicly at the event will reflect the collusion of the Senior PGA with the ongoing hypocrisy and exploitation of Harbor Shores and Whirlpool Corporation. Benton Harbor residents, they need jobs with a living wage, affordable housing, political self-determination, true democracy, justice. We need justice, freedom, and we need our parkland back and a future for our children. For more information, I want you to contact Reverend Edward Pinckney at 269-925-0001. That's Occupy the PGA, May 23rd at 10 a.m., at Benton Harbor City Hall, 200 Wall Street. 200 Wall Street. Be there. There's strength in numbers. Those of you who are out there, you have to remember, there's strength in numbers. They got us so messed up mentally that we have been unable to organize like we should. Is more of us than them. They're evil. They're wicked. But we have an opportunity to stand together. And I want to talk about my target individual just a little bit before I move on. We got something here. We got people listening, talking about this stuff. We got them listening. We cannot blow it now. We got an opportunity to move this thing to a whole different level, and the goal is we will be successful. I see my good friend Belinda Parker Brown is right in the house today, and it's always a pleasure to have her. But I got to bring in my good friend Marcy. Let me find her on here. I don't see her number. I do not see her number. I don't know what that means, but I guess it does mean something. Amazing. It does mean something. So let me bring in my good friend, Laura. Laura, are you there? Laura, are you there? Hello? All right, let me move on then. All righty. I'll bring in my good friend, Belinda Parker Brown. Are you there, Belinda Parker Brown? Talk to me.
Pass the picture!
Hey, what's up? What's up, young lady?
Hey, I'm good, Pastor Pinckney. Right now I'm driving. I was listening in on the show. I had you on mute, so I was hoping, you know, we can go ahead on and just holler at you real quick and let you know what's happening down here in Louisiana.
Man, I'm so happy to hear your voice. I don't know what to tell you, girl. I tell you, I was thinking about calling you all day yesterday. I got busy, started writing and doing things, and we out here trying to put a plan together to find Jessica Gray. And, you know, and I really, really been thinking hard about it, how we're going to do it. But, you know, I always got time for you, Belinda. Belinda Parker Brown, I got time for you, girl. So talk to me.
But, Pastor Pinckney, I'm looking forward to you coming down here to Louisiana, New Orleans, Louisiana. And, you know, you're talking about how wicked and how evil and dirty, low down, you know, these people are when it comes to them abuse of power and, you know, white privilege power and just doing whatever they want to do, especially in the Barron County court system. But it's happening all over the world, Pastor Pinckney. And that's what I'm saying is that we got to unite and gang up on these people like they, like something like they ain't never seen before, to help people like Jessica Gray. Because, you know, I know for a fact that, you know, when it comes to us, it's us against them.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know what the funny part is? They got us so divided up, you know, and they got Democrats and Republicans that split the country right down the middle. It's 60 million people voting for Trump and 61 million voting for whoever else running on the other side. They got everybody so divided up, they don't know which way is up. So that's how that works.
And you're absolutely right, because, you know, the sad thing that's happening here in Louisiana, we don't even know who the Democrats and the Republicans are. You know, everybody is running amok and fake. You know, it's so fake down here until it's just unreal.
Absolutely.
You know, it's unreal, Pastor Pinckney, how fake it is down here.
It's like that all over the country.
The Democrats, they're walking around with white sheets on their head. You know, white sheets on their head, because it's just so much racism and so much, you know, discrimination and just, you know, wrongful, you know, corruption that's going on right now. It's just, it's pathetic. I'm telling you, it is totally unbelievable. You don't even know who, you know, who's on your side. You really don't, Pastor Pinckney. Mm. I'm telling you right now, you don't even know who to stand with. And that is so sad, because people are, you know, have a bad taste in their mouth against this fake leadership that we're dealing with. You know, we saw it happen in the, you know, on nationwide TV on how these people can just lie and say whatever they want to say and do whatever they want to do and then look you in the face and say what you going to do about it.
Absolutely. That and you say that that's really their history, and they figure that they have all the power. And they can say and do whatever they want, and you have an obligation to accept it, and they really don't care whether you do or you don't. They don't care nothing about whether you want to accept what they are saying, because they figure like this: we got all the power, we're in control of all the money, and we can do whatever we want to do, and you guys are not smart enough to understand that we're going to overtake you one way or the other sooner or later. So it's amazing. Absolutely. Hey, before you leave me, I want to talk about Mr. Victor. How's Mr. Victor?
You know, I talked to Pastor Victor on yesterday. You know, it's really sad, Pastor Pickney, what that young man is going through. We're still waiting. You know, we're hoping by the end of February or no later than the end of March that we would have, you know, a favorable answer in regards to the Ramus versus Louisiana, that, you know, mm-hmm. that racist Jim Crow, you know, unconstitutional statute that they had here in Louisiana that they could snatch black people off the street and put them in prison. I'm hoping that, Pastor Pickney, that, you know, we be able to get thousands of people released once the Supreme Court come down and declare that that law was that Constitution should have never been on the books in the first place.
And so, that's a true statement. It should have never been on the books in the first place. And things that if you don't fight things like that, it will continue to grow. And things will get worse before they get better, because they always think that they're right, regardless, even when they're wrong. And when they was out even hanging black folks, these people always thought that they was right. You know, matter of fact, they were so right that they brought their children and their wives fixed their Sunday dinner, and they went and watched a hanging right after church in a burn, and they would burn the body. Yeah. They would do that, and they brought the children. They brought everybody to see this. But they always thought that they was right. You see, I have a right to go and kill after reading the Bible, after attending church service, after listening to the preacher's word. Now you feel like you got a right to go and burn, hang somebody, kill somebody, then burn their body, and even cut off the genitals, and, you know, they did everything, and they felt that they was doing the right thing. But now,
all in the name of their God. That's what they did, Pastor Pickney. And they praised it, and they worshiped it, and they, you know, they celebrated it, you know, and it was a thrill to them, you know, to see that type of, you know, horrific act that they did. It was something that they looked forward to.
Absolutely, absolutely. You said the magic word. But, you know, it's like I said, it is what it is. But we just have to be ready to move to another level and understand who the enemy is. See, that's another one of our pitfalls. We don't really know who the enemy is. You know, we think it's each other, but it's not. You know, these folks are organized. They're organized, you know. And in my way of thinking, if we don't get it together pretty soon, they're going to overtake everybody. Black, white, Mexican, you name it, Puerto Rican, it don't make no difference. They're going to overtake them and subdue them unless we do something. Listen, Belinda, you got about a minute and a half. Tell us something that you want us to know.
Well, absolutely, Pastor Pickney. I'm telling you, I'm excited again and again that you have the Blog Talk Radio so that we can have these conversations and talk about exposing what these people are doing. And, you know, somebody have to talk about it. Somebody have to keep it out there, you know, so that the public can hear that the real truth about what's really going on. You know, when you talk about the TIs, the targeted individuals, and how, you know, they would use these this technology in their favor to taunt people and torture people and you know, get people to do what it is that they want to do. We have to be aware of these devices that they've been using against us. So, but, you know, I'm excited, Pastor Pickney, because I know for a fact that at the end, you know, they're going to lose, because we're going to keep fighting, and we know that when we fight, we win. And that's
Amen.
The reason why I'm looking forward to coming down there, being with you to occupy, you know, the PT, the PTA.
The PGA,
the PGA,
absolutely.
That's all I got to say. It's the PTA. We want everybody to come from all over the world and stand with
yes.
us. You know, let our
Amen.
Voices be heard and let the presence be known that we're here and we're not going away. So thank you, Pastor Pinckney, for giving me the time. And I'm looking forward to you coming to Louisiana to occupy the PTA down here too as well.
All right. Now it's going down. That's all I can tell you. My good friend, Belinda Parker Brown from Louisiana, I tell you, it's a pleasure always to hear her voice because, you know, she's a strong fighter. She's a winner, you know, and there's nothing more important than winning. When you fight, you win, and that's what it's all about. I got to bring in my good friend Marcel now because she have a lot to tell. I had a bio, but I'm going to let her tell her. Tell us about you. Marcel, Reverend Pinckney here, let's talk about you a little bit.
Hello, Reverend.
Give us your bio.
My name is,
how you doing?
Well, quickly. My name is Marcel Reed. I'm from Compton, California. But I live in and have lived in Washington, D.C. for quite a while now. I was the whistleblower liaison for Pacifica Radio Network, traveled around a lot with the military. But everywhere that we were stationed, I always saw the same issues that I saw in Compton. And they are everywhere. It is our poverty, our food deserts, our isolation, our being targeted by the police, and really anyone in officialdom always targets us. But then I realized it was more than just black people. They targeted poor people. They targeted minorities. They targeted people that didn't have the ability to stand up for themselves and didn't know how to organize. So what you're doing and what your friend Belinda is doing in Louisiana is so important because the first way to have people stop targeting you is to organize. And there are truly more of us than there are of them. The difference is that they have everything on their side so that they can continue to intimidate us. And we are intimidated because we never hear the truth. And the truth is so important because the only way to fight power is with organized truth telling. So I'm with something now called the Whistleblower Summit and Film Festival, formerly known as the Whistleblower Summit for Civil and Human Rights. I'm the co-founder of it. It is the largest annual gathering of whistleblowers in the nation. If you tell the truth, if you have spoken truth against power, then you, Reverend Pinckney, are very aware of what happens to you when you speak truth against power. Power has the ability to take everything from us, our freedoms, our families, our financial security, our reputation. And in the bitter end, if none of that works, it may well be our lives. So there are a group of us who come together every year on Capitol Hill. Despite all of the odds, we gather and we speak truth to power. We've talked about guardianship abuse, which people think of as generally older people who have amassed great wealth. But the truth about guardianship is that very often Child Protective Services comes in and takes our children. They become a mill for making money for other people. So it is not just restricted to elderly people. Those of us who have disabilities or perceived disability are caught in this trap of guardianship. We also have whistleblowers who've blown the whistle on the intelligence community, the financial community, members of Congress. So it's the full spectrum of truth-telling. And we gather on the Hill to encourage one another to continue telling the truth, to network with one another, because we understand that the fastest way for us to be picked off is to be picked off in isolation. and so that we can come together with better strategies for protecting ourselves, whether you're a federal whistleblower, whether you're a state whistleblower, whether you are a financial whistleblower, you come out the private industry, you're a military whistleblower. Any type of whistleblower is invited to the summit. Every advocate that believes in truth-telling, because the ultimate antidote to tyranny, which I believe we're very close to sliding into, is truth-telling. And once they stop hearing the truth, once people are afraid to tell the truth, once people don't know the difference between the truth and a manufactured lie, then they're susceptible to absolutely everything. And we're trying to make sure that people are not susceptible to absolutely everything. The stubborn thing about facts are they remain facts. I'm sorry, did I lose the connection? Hello?
Yes, yes, you're here. Can you hear me?
Oh, okay.
Hello?
Hello, that's it.
Hello?
I wanted
yes.
to also I wanted to invite people to our Whistleblower Summit, which is free, as it always has been. It is from July 28th through August 1st in Capitol Hill in Washington, D.C. So it will be panel discussions, where you can actually meet whistleblowers, local whistleblowers, international whistleblowers, national whistleblowers. And there's also a film festival. We're the only whistleblower film festival in the country. And last year we won an award, Best in Fest, for the most innovative new festival in the country.
Wow, that's tremendous. Will we get a chance to meet the whistleblower, the one that blew the whistle on Trump, too? Will he be there?
I don't know, but we will certainly extend him an invitation. We're in the process of doing that now.
Absolutely. You know what?
Lieutenant Colonel
really,
Binman.
Really
yeah, Lieutenant Colonel Binman.
I hope you'll be able to see Reverend Pinkney.
I'm sorry.
I saw where he was terminated.
Yeah, he wasn't just fired. He was humiliated.
Yeah. Yeah.
He was humiliated. I personally know people who've been fired from the White House. It never occurs like that. It's never public. It's never a way to demean and humiliate someone. And I hope that everyone in the country caught that it was a very quick sign to us that if we speak up, if we dare to tell the truth on power, the exact same thing can happen to us. And if they'll do it to a lieutenant colonel in the Army, then what will they do to the rest of us?
Amazing. You know, I didn't think, even though this guy's the, I even hate to call him the president, and you have to forgive me for that, because I don't even want to use that term, president. Matter of fact, I spell his name with a small T, just to let people know that I'm very defiant of this man. But I didn't know that he had the power to actually fire someone in the Army. I thought that was almost something separate. I admit I didn't know. I may have been. I know I'm wrong now because it happened. But my idea was that he could see the Army is something separate. Because let's say if there was a coup, the Army comes in and takes over and drives the president and the vice president and arrests the vice president and the president. I had no idea that he had that authority over the Army. I didn't know. You know, especially being a whistleblower, there's a lot more to this, but I had no idea until this happened just recently.
Well, yeah, it just happened on Friday. You know, today is Sunday, and the problem that this president presents, that this administration writ large presents, is that – We are all suffering from what they used to call bank bulk, I believe, syndrome. And that is, there is so much information coming at us until we can no longer sort nor distinguish. And it's a very specific tactic. And the tactic is that you simply make so much noise and there's so much chaos that people can't figure out what's going on. And so eventually all of us have a limit of how much we can absorb and we give up. And when that happens, then whatever agenda items that they had planned are going into place. For instance, we're all talking about Trump and talking about the administration, but in the meantime, they're packing the courts. 187 lifelong appointments were made on federal courts. So when you go to federal court now, will you have a fair arbiter of the law, or will you have someone more inclined to support the establishment even more so than to support the plaintiff?
Yeah, and you know what? You are 100% correct. All this impeachment stuff, all this stuff that was going on, all of this going on, they was going behind our backs doing things, but the people got to speak up. They keep talking about, and remember this, this guy got at least, this is the minimum, 35% of this country support this guy. At least 35%. I'm talking about of 350 million people, 35% of that total support this guy, you see. And if you got that many people supporting you, anything can happen. So we have to be more prepared.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. You're absolutely right, Reverend Pinckney. You're absolutely right. And that's why it's so important in our individual communities that we determine that we're going to stand up. Not for any party, but right versus wrong. I keep telling people, this isn't about right versus left. This is about right versus wrong.
Absolutely.
Because you can be in the Deep South and the Democrat can be worse to you than your worst Republican. You can be in the North and your Republican can be worse than the worst person in the Deep South, because I keep telling people Trump is from New York.
Yeah.
New York. So we had this ideal in our mind. That's right. This kind of racism couldn't exist, could not manifest itself in the North.
Yeah.
And yet it did. I mean, I wonder how people thought about the State of the Union on Tuesday. Did you have an opportunity to take a look at it?
I did not. The only part that I actually saw was when Nancy tore up the speech, and I really got excited behind that, because I would have took a match and burnt it right while he was speaking. Right after he got through speaking, that's what she should have did. Set it right on fire. She should have burned it, and I saw the disgust on her face. But what was even more amazing than that, I will not waste any time listening to anything he said. If he says it's a major disaster going on, you need to be watching, I probably won't watch it, knowing me. Because everything that comes out of his mouth is a lie. So, you know, I don't think he knows the truth. And then here's the thing that gets me. People who support him believe the lies that he done told. You know, he's not a liar. What is he then? You have to tell me what he is if he's not a liar. Talk to me. Maybe you could tell me something that he had not lied about. Anything. I don't care what it is. Tell me something this man ain't lied about. You see? But unfortunately, that's it. But listen, you got about a minute and a half to tell us something that you want us to know. Tell us what you want us to know,
I want you to know about the Whistleblower Summit. I want you to know that everybody is invited. And I want you to know that it's July 28th through August 1st in Washington, D.C., and that everyone is invited. And as always, there is no cost to attend the summit. And this year, we will be having the Whistleblower Film Festival again. For the festival, there might be a small fee. There's absolutely no fee at all for coming to the summit. We invite you to come. We invite you to not only connect with other whistleblowers, but to learn strategies for how you can be more effective in your own community and that you can protect the right to speak truth to power.
Very, very good. Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate that. I'd like for you to come on again because we got another whole 6 months before that happens. But I want you to keep telling people I'm going to do everything within my power to be there. But you got to keep reminding me. Let me know. My schedule do fill up real fast, but I'll do everything within my power to be there. On that note,
absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Take care.
Thank you for being there. Have a great day. Beautiful, beautiful whistleblower. And we might even have the real whistleblower there. I wouldn't miss it for the world. Also, I got to bring in my other good friend from Louisiana, the one and only. Doran, are you there? This is Reverend Pinckney. Talk to me today.
Oh, yes. Hey, Reverend. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
Well, I'm blessed and highly favored of the Lord.
Amen. We can't ask for no more than that.
You sure can't. And, you know, with everything that's going on with myself being a targeted individual that you spoke mm-hmm. of earlier, of being victimized, I'm a victor because I know Jesus. And so
Amen.
To deal with things of the Antichrist is truly a challenge, but the battle is not mine, it's the Lord's.
Amen. Hey,
and,
listen,
and what I've been going through lately.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So let's start at the beginning. How did you first happen to become a target individual? Or when did it start? Talk to me a little bit about that.
I had started in 2004 in Seattle, Washington. And
okay.
I was working as a radio announcer, a realtor in Washington and Louisiana. And I had just scored the highest on a state exam in financing. And that's
mm-hmm.
like, I think I scored a little 98%, but it was enough to beat the bankers and everyone else who was in financing in that state of Washington. And it was like after that, there were people coming at me from all sides, from the entertainment industry, because I had worked in radio for 35 years since I was a teenager. And it's hard to get out of that industry. You know, they don't really like for you to leave. And I know that that's part of this targeting. I know that the entertainment industry is very big on the gaslighting and gang stalking. The technology that is being used is, you can find that amongst the Hollywood elite and in the entertainment industry, and as well as, you know, the oil and gas industry. Any big giant corporation, I believe they all are in ownership of these directed energy weapons, which is cleverly designed as science. And not too many people are educated in the workings and the use of these things that are being used in this modern day. It's not even a war. You know, I could call it a war, Reverend Pinckney, if we had the weapons as well, you know, being single women at home or women with children or any vulnerable person or who an average white man would feel is vulnerable and who has access to this technology and who basically have a propensity to perversions, you know. Basically, that's what I see that
mm-hmm.
it's being used for, from what I can hear. And so I've been victimized by the cloaking, the cloaks of invisibility. I believe there's someone in my house at all times. Recently, I had came home after a funeral, was sitting, in my den, and I heard a few footsteps come up behind me, and my neck just, somebody grabbed my neck and twisted it really like they were trying to twist it off. And it scared me. Yeah, needless to say, because you can't see anyone. And so this is very dangerous technology, not so much that it's new, because we know there's nothing under new that's under the sun, but this is basically something that, with the cloaking technology being so widely used now, you can cloak almost anything, you know.
Absolutely.
And so that's,
wow.
You know, that's something I like to warn people about. Just do your research on the cloaking technology, the stealth technology, the cloaks of invisibility. I think in the Bible they called them the cloak of many colors, or just flat out cloaking. You know, Abner was a cloaker, and of course his end was to be slaughtered. And so this has happened from way back when, you know, Simon the sorcerer, when he used mind control on the whole town because he wanted John the Baptist to baptize him so that he could get the Holy Ghost. But when he found out his heart had to be clean, he decided, oh, well, I have enough money, I can buy the Holy Ghost. But he found out he could not buy it, you know.
Absolutely. You're giving us an education. You're giving these folks that's listening a real education, girl. Go ahead. Don't stop now, though. Tell us about it.
Well, our souls aren't for sale. You know, when you first in Leviticus, it says that if you see something, someone getting hurt or harmed, or if you hear of it, that you should say something. Otherwise, God holds you just as accountable for having that knowledge, the knowing, the hearing, the seeing, and not saying anything about it. He holds you and charges you. That individual who kept silent, you're now charged as if you were the person who did that drive-by shooting, shot that kid, or
Absolutely.
Chipped that woman, you know, in the middle of the night. Yes. And so,
Absolutely.
You know, all of this is spiritual. It all has a spiritual aspect. Everything that's going on in the world today, as the one, there was someone who was speaking earlier, a young lady, and she did mention that this is going on all over the world.
Yeah.
And it is.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And also
Reverend
Picknick, Miss Brown, she's in Louisiana. I'm in Louisiana. So at some point in time, I hope that you would give her my phone number because I would love to work with a strong group. Yes.
Yeah. Matter of fact, she's in Slidell. You know where Slidell is?
Not too far from me. Yes.
Oh, okay. So y'all, you're practically in the same neighborhood.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Okay. Well, let me ask you this while we're on this. Like, most of the time, you know, I understand the process of I was in Gary, Indiana, and this one lady, she used to be, like, really bright-skinned. And I was speaking in Gary, Indiana, and she came to hear me, and she showed me pictures of how she used to look. And then she showed me, then I looked at her today and saw how she is today. It really, really pierced my heart because I could not believe that these are the same people. I understand the microwave, but do they also burn your skin like that? Is that the old method that they use? Or is that the present method that they use? But this was about 4 or 5 years ago when I met her and talked with her about this. And her skin, she showed me a picture of what she used to look like. And then I'm looking at her. I said, no way possible. And then also she told me that it attacks her, this microwave attacks her sexually. And it kind of like blew my mind because my mind, you know, as a person, your first thing comes to your mind, she's just making this up. But once you looked at this woman, I believed everything she said after that because I used to talk to her on the telephone. I never got a chance to see her. It took me about 2-3 years to see her and meet her. I told her I was going to be in Gary, Indiana, speaking. She drove all the way from Philadelphia so she could tell me about this and wanted me to see her. And when I saw her, my heart just dropped. I couldn't quite understand. But here's what I want you to tell me, because I don't really, I listen to people, and I believe what the people saying, but everybody got a story. Tell us how it attacks you.
Okay, well, nowadays the microwave, I get that every once in a while. Mostly it's the biological terrorism now. They spray, there's different sprays. The drones that they have, they can actually cloak the drones that are flown into your house. In fact, in 2014, I did videotape a drone that was loose in my home, spraying me, cutting me physically, and I was able to post it actually on Patty Murray's website, because I was just coming out of Washington State and moving back to Louisiana at that time. And, you know, no help. You don't get help from some politicians. I went physically to the other representative's office and sat down and told my story while being videotaped. Now, this is my 15th year. So, yes, I have chemical burns. I've had third-degree burns from 5G, a new installation out on the light pole. They just show up in the middle of the night, the 5G spots, and burnt my leg, third-degree burns. The physical attacks, the cuts, to wake up with cuts, bleeding, nosebleeds in the middle of the night. It's just horrible. It's a nightmare to think about it. If I pause, because my harassment / torture is 24/7. So it's from the moment I get up in the morning, it's as if someone just, bam, stabs you in the head. And then they're already talking, you know, they're coming through, running through, the human traffickers, doing what they do, you know, the demonic thing. And yes, most of the females, 80% of the women targeted are Black women, African-American women. And we all have basically the same thing. You're attacked in your private parts. You're sodomized through the technology, which I was told is only owned by the police. They're the only ones who have access to the technology that can enter in through the bottom. And of course, most religious people, spiritual people say, well, that's where demons enter into your body, is through the behind. And even though these are people who didn't even know about the electronic harassment or the technology, but there's so many commonalities when you're looking at religious and spiritual things, you know, versus you were looking to the accursed side and you're looking at the priesthood of things, and the accursed side is showing you that, you know, the canker worms, all of the evil, wicked things truly that are written in the Word of God are realized. Yes, it through this harassment. And anyone who would participate in this, they would have to have the mark of the beast.
Yeah.
Truly, truly.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. And remember this, all this is designed. It's just not like, see, it's over a million target individuals in this country alone. It's over a million of them. And they have used this technology, and they planned on using it for war. I believe they used it on the Iraqi soldiers. I believe they used it on in Cuba, and I believe they use it in China. But they was using this as an experiment for you, for all the people like you. I used to know this girl named Mary Neal. She was from Atlanta, Georgia. And she was probably one of the first ones that I met that told me about being a target individual. She told me about it, and it really got my attention because I believe that these things are actually happening. I believe they are happening. But let me say this to you. Let's stay focused. Let's make this thing happen. Let's tell the world about it. And then let's all come together. You know, I'm going to bring all these target individuals together with other individuals to form a real army to fight this stuff back. Because we're going to win at the end. We just have to stand up and fight.
Will.
If you don't fight, you can't win. You got to stand tall against this enemy. This enemy is out there, and they're trying to destroy not just you, but when they attack you, they're attacking your family too.
That's right.
So we got to do what we have to do. Listen, take about 2 minutes and tell us what you want us to know, and then I got to move on. I got to bring in my good friend Lee.
Okay. Well, I would just like for everyone just to be aware, you know, of your surroundings in your neighborhood, in the schools, listen to your children. If they tell you, hey, something strange is happening in my bedroom, you might want to check it out or believe them. You know, just keep your eyes open because these are evil times that we're living in. And the devil is going to use whatever he can and whomsoever he can because he knows his time is almost up. And so I'm just hoping that each and every person will say a prayer, send up a prayer for all those who are being hurt. Maybe you yourself aren't being directly harmed, but please remember us in your prayers and do a little research online. And just thank you for your time and thank you for all that you do, all of those who are working with the Whistleblower Association and all. Thank you for your time. That's very important.
Absolutely. Yes, it is. Yes,
thank
it is. And you know, we want you to know that we are here for you. And, you know, maybe during the week, let's you and I talk, give me a call and let's talk a little bit more. And let's see, find ways how we can neutralize this mess that's occurring around us today. So let's stay focused, do what we need to do. And I want to thank you so much for being on the show. I know what's going on, but I want other people to know. Thank you so much. Let's talk soon. I'll give Belinda Parker Brown your number so she can call
thank
you, okay?
You.
All
thank
right.
You
Have
so
a great
much.
Day. You're welcome. You're welcome. You are welcome again. Now I got to bring in my good friend Lee. I'm very, very concerned about him. I know that he's a lot of times people don't understand what this system is really all about. We always say that the government will not do something. Every time you say the government will not do something, you can bet your life that they will. They will do anything. They will even kill you. Yes, they will. They will kill you and won't think anything about it. They will send you to prison when there's no such charge. They will make up stuff. They will make up stuff, and they all work together. That's why you have to have a connection. You got to get the word out. You got to like a chain letter. You gotta spread that information out so other people can get it. That's what they don't want. But let me talk to my good friend Lee. Talk to me, Lee. Tell us right now.
Hey, how you
going
doing?
On with you? I'm doing great, Lee. I'm really worried about you. I know how this government works, especially the federal part of it. I'm very, very concerned about you. And you know, we're dealing with a monster here, and this monster can be defeated. Just like remember when Rodan came out, they made that move about Rodan. Rodan, they couldn't kill Rodan. They didn't know how to kill Rodan. Well, eventually they killed Rodan. You know, that's how that worked. Godzilla, remember Godzilla? You know, all these they couldn't kill him, but they figured out a way to kill him. All it takes is time. And what we need their strength and numbers. Now, I'm doing enough talking. I want you to talk to me, Lee.
Well, you know, just like you said, how they make up things. I had I went to see one of these doctors that they had me go to. And mm-hmm. he had me do the first test. The first test he had me do, he said, well, it shows that you're not trying to be manipulative or trying to be deceptive to me. So that's a good thing. I said, okay. And he was like, he got to ask me about, he said, well, I don't know what's going on, but I got some reports saying that you can't keep an attorney. You done had four different attorneys. And you had outbursts in the courtroom. I said, what? I said, if I had outbursts in the courtroom, they would have locked me up. I said, and I had the same attorney I had for when I very first got arraigned is the same exact attorney that I have now. So how did I go through four different attorneys? He was like, well, are you saying that they're lying? I said, without doubt they're lying. Ain't you mean? Am I saying that they're lying? Yeah, they're lying. Yeah. I said, I'm not going to sit here and bite my tongue to it. I know they lying. I said, as a matter of fact, here's my attorney number. Why don't you call him and ask him? He's been representing me since the beginning of this case. I said, so how did I go through four different attorneys? I said, I know the judge didn't say. Maybe the prosecutor might have said that to you, but the judge didn't say that to you. I said, because he know it. I ain't go through four different attorneys. I said, that's a complete lie. And I said, and have outbursts in the courtroom. They would have locked me up. I'm not finna feed off into their hands. I ain't finna do that.
Yeah.
I say, I barely say anything in the courtroom other than yes, sir, and no, sir, and let my attorney do all the talking. I say, so I don't think that sounds like an outburst. I say, but you feel free to call my attorney, and he'll tell you. He'll tell you the truth on that.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like, well, I have a... I have a feeling, you know, you don't like to talk about you. No, he said, you got some type of fears or whatever. I said, yeah, my fears is dealing with this government. Did I have a fear of it? I said, you just sat there and told me that they said that I was having outbursts in the courtroom and went through four different attorneys. So you tell me, why should I have fear of this government? If they could sit there and tell you that. I said, what are they trying to do? Get you to admit me to a hospital so the truth don't come out? I said, that's what it sounded like to me. He was just like,
wow.
I don't know. Maybe I have to go dig a little bit more in and ask some more questions. I said, I think you might need to. I said, and here's my attorney's number. Same attorney I had. I said, so they're trying to come to you with something completely different. That's what's going on in that courtroom. I said, I don't come in there looking beat down and none of that. No, I said, why? Is it because that I'm keep coming in there with my head held high? I say, you ain't finna beat me down. Look, I'd have endured a lot worse than this. I think the problem was that when I told them I wanted to go to trial and I kept denying their offers, he was like, oh, send them to a psychiatrist.
Yeah. He got
to
be out
of his
mind, not to accept this. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's what it was, you know. I say, how is it that I got to see a psychiatrist because I want to go to trial? I say, it must be something that...
remember this. They want to label you as being nuts or something, you know. That helps them. So you see what I'm saying?
Oh, without doubt.
That helps them.
Without doubt.
So all the stuff that you're saying... even though you have evidence to support it, you know, you see, but in their eyesight, they got you. You know, they got you. You know, that's how they always think. And in the lower court, they normally do have you. But now since Trump can put all these people in the higher court, things are beginning to get more and more difficult for us that we don't see. But here's what I love about you. I love to know that I know that you're not going down without a fight. You're like me. I figure like I fight everything. I don't care what it is. If I got a cold, I'm fighting that cold. You know, I'm gonna hit it with an overhand right. I'm gonna jab it. I'm gonna do whatever I can. But we got your back, though, Lee. I want you to know this. Even if you come on for just for a few minutes, I want people to know that you're still alive and kicking. And here what we got. I want you to do. You got about 3 minutes to tell us what you want us to know and how we can help you. See, that's the key word. how we can.
Well, to be
help
honest
you.
With you,
mm-hmm.
if someone independent of this case here that I can present everything to, they will see off the bell. Unfortunately,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I've been trying to do that, find somebody independent of my case, but they don't want me to do that because they don't want me to expose everything.
Yeah.
See, that's
but
the thing.
So
they like, well, this part that got them spooked is this guy knows too much, and we don't need him going to trial. That's the main issue right there. He knows too much.
Mm-hmm.
He knows his case because they're all telling on each other.
Mm-hmm.
All
mm-hmm.
of them reaching out. This one telling on that one. This one telling on that one. I got audio recordings for one of them where he's like, hey, you know, they got her under a different name. Well, damn, you the one that put this together. Now you want to tell on her? I said, oh, okay, thanks for letting me know. So you letting me know what you letting me know that you really a part of this case.
Mm-hmm.
And all of them just finding their little slick ways, trying to text me from a text now app number as if I don't know it's them talking. I mean, they slipping up in a conversation. They trying to be discreet, but then they
mm-hmm.
letting me know certain things like, hey, you know, me and my cousin was talking to an old girl, and she told me, you and your cousin. And he's like, yeah, she was telling me how they all setting you up. How did you even get my number,
mm-hmm.
first of all?
Right. Absolutely.
And then you say you and your cousin, first of all, ain't no federal agent going to contact me and tell me who is the CIs on my case.
Yeah, that don't make sense. Right on.
My point is that.
We ran out of time, but I always like you to come on and let people, and all during the week, I will be getting about 10, 15 emails in reference to you, which is good. Telling us what they think you should do and how you should handle this. And I do listen to them, because if you email me, I will read it. That's a promise. Those of you out there, don't hesitate, because we're going to win this battle. But there's strength in numbers. This is what I want people to know. There is strength in numbers, and we can win if we fight. On that note, we have just ran out of